Welcome back to episode 60 of Life on the Loop Golf Podcast, hosted by myself, Marcus Crowe, and the bald man, Patrick Faraday. Two guys grinding it out, lugging bags, and living the dream. Join us every Wednesday for Tales from the Course, casual conversation, and a dose of golf banter. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Follow us on the socials at Life on the Loop 9. Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. Get on it.
OnlyFans, subscribe. Promo code hole in one for 1 month free.
Or for 2 months, Life in the Hoop.
But yeah, check it out. Fans. There's some phenomenal content on there.
Oh, God. That's where the money's to be made, honestly. That is where the money is made.
Well, yeah, that's why we're now on it.
I know. Honestly, we're close to hitting a million.
Just me and you, pennies. Just butt naked, nothing else but a golf glove.
Just watching old highlights of
Tiger.
I know
you're thinking about it.
I'm not thinking about it.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
You're thinking dollar signs, this is a good idea.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible. We got to move swiftly on from that. Because we probably put off a lot of people. We probably put them off their breakfast, their lunch, their morning drive, their coffee. Just imagining me and you.
Stark bollock naked.
Just with Life on the Loop gloves on.
With the Titleist Cabretta leather glove.
Titleist, why are you giving them recognition?
They're the best gloves in the game.
No, it's not. They're not. They're Life on the Loop Kirkland gloves. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked here.
For goodness sakes.
We are doing an episode.
Yeah, we are. And I know we've had another week off. Just things. Time is just getting occupied. It's hard to squeeze all of this stuff in. Just a lot of stuff going on.
Also, all the important people we want to get on, they're all busy.
No, they're not busy. They just hate us.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm saying
you, every time you tell me, oh, yeah, oh, Tiger texts me. He said he's got a tournament this weekend, so he can't come in. No, Marcus, Tiger just doesn't like you. He doesn't want to be on the pod.
He doesn't know me. If he knew me, he would 100% come on.
Same with Charlie Woods. You went to his school and you were like, Charlie, look, you got, you know, 20 minutes for a pod? And he was like, oh, get away from me, weirdo.
Well, rumor has it, you actually went to Mission Inn last week when they played in the high school, and they turned you out. They turned you down.
Okay, first of all, how do you even know it was at Mission Inn? I didn't know this.
Because I wanted to know where they won.
You wanted to know where Charlie was?
Yes, so I could track him down, which you did, oh, and they wouldn't. They didn't even let you through the gates.
How would you know there were gates?
Because I said, has there been someone recently arrested? Because I saw a lot of police cars. And they were like, yeah, some bald man with Charlie Woods' face on his T-shirt wasn't allowed through the gates. And I was like, oh, is it this guy? And he was like, yeah. I was like, that's Patrick Faraday.
All right, I've been caught out. I was trying to get Charlie for the pod, but anyways.
We can't get Woods, we're getting Charlie.
What a bizarre tangent this has taken.
This is what the listeners want.
It's funny, we start the episode, and I don't really know what we're going to talk about. And then we've talked about OnlyFans and basically stalking Charlie Woods.
Yeah, but now we're zoned back in. We're zoning back in.
Speak for yourself.
Speak to yourself, mate.
Aye.
We're absolutely shattered. If you don't know what shattered means, Google it. English terminology, shattered.
Knackered. Fresh off of a 5-hour loop.
Also, knackered is another one.
It's crazy. It just drags on.
You're a geezer as well.
It's my boy. Pal. Yeah, I'm with him all the time, but goodness me.
Honestly.
It's always the same. It's just the last, like, six holes, it's like we get stuck in the mud. It's just so slow.
It shouldn't be. Never.
There's no one in front, no one behind. That's the problem. No one behind, we don't get pushed. So it ends up being a 5-hour slog.
Slog.
Carrying the heaviest bag on planet Earth.
Slog. That's a great cricket terminology as well. Good slog.
Yeah.
But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, cats and dogs,
here we are.
Subscribe. Get that little follow button. I know a lot of you have. You're supporters of the pod. But I tell you what, there's a few out there listening right now that haven't. Go and give it a little follow. On Spotify, give it a little how you don't. Or on Apple, give us a little 5-star. Or 4-star, but realistically...
No, don't do that.
Don't be that. Don't be that guy or gal.
Because we'll find you. And hurt you. Emotionally.
and physically. You know what I was quite hoping for as well? I was hoping that the I was going to get a DM saying that I got abused emotionally and physically due to somebody telling me to follow the pod.
Oh my God, someone did tell me, actually, I forgot.
Shut up.
Yeah, I kid you not. It was the day of, when was it? I think it was like the member tournament we just had.
Eh?
One of the caddies came up to me and was like, just listen to the pod. And I was abusing him. I was like, oh my God, first time, thanks for the support. And he was joking. He's like, dude, I listen every week. And there was another caddy next to us. He was like, oh yeah, the pod? And he was like, yeah, listen. I was told to bully someone into listening. So you're going to listen. He did it right in front of my face. Made the guy cry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's what we want. That's what we want.
Just sweat and tears and emotional abuse.
So yeah.
That's why we'll get paid. We'll shout out to that guy. Big shout out.
Anyways, I feel like we should mix this one up. We haven't done the emails for a while. Let's go through the email folder.
We'll go there first.
And read a few of them out.
I like that.
Because I do enjoy this. Okay, and we're back. And we've dug out, what is a lengthy email? I haven't yet read this.
A Langer's email.
Have you read this or no?
I've not. Okay, that's the beauty of it, though. I skimmed read.
We'll keep them anonymous, just because. Okay.
The beekeeper, though.
Yes, the beekeeper. It starts, Marcus and the Bold Man. How official. A lovely Monday morning, 9 a.m., UG Tubal. UG meaning unaccompanied guest, not members. Can be 50-50. It was a 20-20-20 match, so that was the bet, with some two-digit handicappers from Kentucky. $5 birdies. There's some trash talk going on, back and forth, but nothing too aggressive. Good friends for a long time playing together after a round the day before, then flying back home. I'm caddying for player A, who lost the front by 3 holes. He tries to press the bet on the 10th tee and player B declines. Decent golf by both players until 14 tee, and it is tied on the back. Caddy B walks ahead on 14 down the bridge, and I stay on the tee. Player B tees off first, hits it far on the left rough. My player followed him left but didn't hit it quite as well. As we get to both golf balls, Caddy B is standing by the shorter drive with a perfectly teed up lie and tells player B, this is your ball, you have 190. My player even asked the caddy if he moved the ball because the lie was so good. Interesting. Meanwhile, I asked my player if he is playing a ball with a logo, the other ball about 10 yards ahead, with a shit lie. He said, no, I'm playing a Titleist 3, but saw a Titleist 3 on the ball he was about to play. Both golfers were playing Titleist Black 3, but one of them had a logo. Okay, this is getting confusing. Player A finally recognized it was not his ball. However, player A did not say anything before player B hit his ball with a hybrid. One of the purest shots of the day to the back of the green, about 10 feet for bird. Player A then called him out, and player B acted like it didn't matter. Angrily, player A hits his opponent's ball with a horrible lie and chunks it to about 60 yards short of the green, chips it on, and gives himself a long 2-putt for 5, after player B continued to play the wrong ball for a 4. I said that the hole should have been conceded after it was deemed player B played the wrong ball in match play, but player A didn't even finish the hole how stroke play would have allowed by dropping, and the match now has an asterisk. Player B said, an asterisk for him, the best I'll give you is a push because I played better than you on that hole, and that's what matters. How should that situation have been resolved? Whose fault is it? If Marcus was player B, how would I feel about it, or vice versa? From your favorite beekeeper. P.S. Marcus, player B called your old gaff Lake Jovial. What the devil?
Lake Jovita. Okay, so.
Interesting.
It sounds like there's been a bit of debauchery and a bit of a shit show from either player A and the caddy. Because they clearly were playing both of them were playing black threes, and you saw a red three. So the caddies obviously dove into the bag and dropped it.
I don't think I think they're playing the same ball. The caddy doesn't. Do you ever check the ball? I don't check the ball.
I don't ever check the ball, but I know what my, because you're cleaning the golf ball. Yes, I do. Okay, I'll take that back. I do know what my player's playing.
And also, it sounds like Caddy A. Why would Caddy A drop a peach of a ball for the other guy to hit?
Maybe because he felt bad because he lost. It was lost.
I did this in a college tournament. I played the wrong ball once. It's 2-stroke penalty in match play.
Correct.
Fuming. In stroke play. Match play, it's a straight loss of hole. So that is the official rule.
Yep.
However, the issue we have is that player A and caddy A knew that it was the wrong ball. So it's an ethical dilemma. Did they have the responsibility to say you're about to play the wrong ball? Or the fact that they knew it and said nothing, is that a penalty?
So they're playing the same golf ball, the same number.
Yes.
First of all, that's shocking. That's terrible. Change balls. Second of all...
Well, it's got a logo, so it is different. One has a logo. One is a plain ball.
It was his the one that played the logo?
But I don't think it matters. Obviously, the logo was on the backside, and no one thought to check. Yeah. So I guess they didn't... The only issue I have here is whether the players that knew he's about to play the wrong ball, do they get a penalty for not saying anything to them?
No. That is, you're correct. It's an ethical stance.
So this is the dilemma, because obviously, rules of golf, it's a loss of hole, 2-stroke penalty in stroke play.
Yeah.
It's black and white, black but it's and white. Whether...
And it's bit one of a sticky
those,
one.
It's one of those ones as well where like, you would have to call the penalty on yourself and be like, I knew you were about to do that.
Yeah.
And then you're potentially jeopardizing yourself.
If I was player B, how would you feel?
I would never do this because I want to know where my ball is, especially if they're pretty close. I'm going to walk to my ball. And if the balls are close, I'm going to look at it and be like, is that my ball?
Here's also a side note. This is actually... We've resolved the situation. It's loss of hole. My second part of the story is, isn't it surprising how many people don't know where the ball goes?
Yeah, that's also one of my pet peeves. Really, really annoys me.
Oh, where did it go? How do you mean, where did it go? You just hit it. Unless you're blind in one eye, then I could be like, okay, maybe he thought he hit a cut, but actually went dead straight. I could see that. No pun intended. But it's like, oh, where did it go? What do you mean, where did it go? You just hit it. You've walked to your ball in 30 seconds and you've forgotten where you've hit it.
Yeah, it also annoys me when they're walking and they don't walk towards the ball. They walk down like the middle of the fairway and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, my ball's over there, and they have to do a right angle turn. That annoys me as well. Just walk to your ball.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. It's just unbelievable. Honestly, how do you not know where your ball goes? I never understand that.
Well, in fairness, yesterday I had a guy who had really bad vision, like eyesight. He couldn't see the ball beyond like 50 yards.
But that's fine.
So he'd hit it and he'd be like, where'd it go? And I'd literally have to tell him
where
it
went. But that's fine. I'm fine with that. I'm absolutely okay with that. If you're partially blind, I'm okay with that. But it's just so bizarre. It's like, I don't know. You know, we're not switched on all the time for caddying.
Yeah.
And we'll maybe miss a golf ball once or twice. It's just natural. You know, seeing other golf balls, other things are happening. It won't happen more than twice if you're a good caddy. It might not even happen once. But as a player, you've got to know where your golf ball is. No one's hitting it. No one's hitting it a million miles to not know where the golf ball is. But yeah. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, I mean.
It needs to get done.
Yeah. And I appreciate the email. It comes down to whether you're a good person or a scumbag.
That's
if you're
true.
Choosing to try and sabotage the match by like making the opponent play the wrong ball.
Yeah.
It's kind of shitty from you, really. Obviously, they couldn't beat him fair and square.
Do you think it was the caddy or the player that wasn't the truthful one?
Well, from that they story? Say they both knew.
Oh, they both knew.
Player A and caddy A both knew.
Oh, I thought it was just player.
But regardless, caddy is player's responsibility. Like, you know, that's one thing I'd be super nervous about if I was ever a tour caddy.
Ooh.
If I accidentally like moved a ball or something, the player gets penalized and you get fired and absolutely rollicked.
I mean, it's rarely going to happen though.
Yeah, no, for sure. But
I would also never go near. I would never go near my player's golf ball, and like move a leaf for him. That's the player. That's the player. We're not
all
in
that stuff.
Yeah, we're not in that life. You know, we're not in that element of country club golf. Like, it's your player's ball. You're just shooting that. You're just there, basically. Just giving numbers.
You'd be there, 18th green at the Valspar, telling him what it does. And he's fighting back. He's like, nah, it's a bit more than that. You get up there and just putt it yourself.
Imagine.
Tournament on the line, DQ.
I think we've got to do that this year. One of us.
Play the Valspar.
Well, yeah. One of us has to do the qualifier.
But what's the point? You've got to shoot like 5 under.
Maybe we do that.
I play 9 holes a week.
You're in good nick.
I'm in good nick, but I'm not in 5 under.
You never know.
Tournament conditions,
mentally,
nick.
You could be. You hit the ball pretty straight and actually pretty far. And you got me on the bag. Mentally, we're ahead.
The only way I'm doing it is if I'm in a car with a couple nooners.
You can.
I'm treating it like just a Monday match with the boys.
You can. 100%. I don't think you're allowed caddies to walk. I think it has to be all in golf carts for pace of play.
And I pick up at double.
Yeah, I mean, all right. Maybe not. This could be the Wesley Bryan and
George
Bryan.
Just the shit version.
Yeah. The budget version of Life on the Loop. I think it could.
Those guys have actually just built a golf course as well.
Eh?
Unbelievable the stuff those guys are doing.
Yeah, exactly. It's what happens, mate. This is us. This is us in 2 years. Come on.
All right.
So all right. back to the notes. I want to know what the hell this means. Guy shouting at bathroom ball on acid.
Yeah, this was quite funny. This was a long time ago now. It's just a little quick thing I wanted to put in. He was from the Northeast. Only comes down once or twice a year. So he's an out-of-towner. Just does the whole cottage thing. So I met him on the first tee. I was like, hey, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, he's like, where you from? All the usual. And I was like, where you from? He's like, up northeast, New England somewhere. And he said to me, he was like, I got a golf addiction. That was his word. He's like, I'm addicted to golf. So I was like, all right, fair play. So he's a member here, some other course down here. And then obviously up north, his track. And he wasn't a great player. He wasn't bad, but he was just a bang average player. Loves the game.
But he loves it.
Anyway, so they got cocktails. They're not getting after it, but they're here for a good time, have a drink, have a little friendly wager. So he also told me he played college soccer back in the day. So we were talking about Premier League, all that stuff. Good lad. I was getting on with him. So anyway, we're walking up one of the holes, par 3, and he was like, I've got to tell you guys about my story on acid. So I believe he was a degen back in the day, like full degen. He was telling me he used to do a lot of acid. And he said this one time he was tripping on acid. He went to the bathroom in some dive bar. And it was a nasty place. So the bathroom, people like wrote graffiti on the walls and stuff. They'd write their names and like notes. So he said he was pissing at the urinal. And he looked up and he saw his mate's name there. And he was like tripping on acid. And the name was like turned into his mate's face. And he started just shouting at the wall. He was like, why the fuck you write your name there, you pussy? Like, what kind of a man does that, you douche? And he was just going ham at the wall. And apparently they heard it from the bar. And they walk in and they just see this guy just holding his todger, pissing, just shouting at the wall. And I could just picture it. I thought that's quality.
That is shocking.
Imagine
we're at Red Dog and I just come in and you're shouting at the wall.
About to headbutt it.
Who wants some? I can give
Brilliant.
It. So he went from being an addict of acid to an addict of golf.
Yeah, I think he switched his habit.
That's pretty good, though.
Yeah.
It's a good habit to switch to. I mean, fair play to the lad. I mean, honestly.
No, yeah, I just enjoyed that. It was just a short, bizarre one.
Very bizarre one. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll talk about bizarre. Two things that happened to me over the last week that's bizarre is, first of all, I've got a gammy knee. Got a dodgy knee.
You got dodgy everything.
Got dodgy everything. Just had a scan this morning, which was when you listeners will be listening. It'll be yesterday morning. Got a scan. Thought I'd done my meniscus. I've actually done my patella.
AKA kneecap.
Kneecap.
Let's break this down. Hold on a second. The last week, you've been going around telling everyone you've torn your meniscus.
Because I couldn't walk.
And everyone's like, oh, bloody hell, Christ.
I also didn't know what a patella was.
Anyway, guy's been going around saying he's torn his meniscus. And we're like, guy, he's still walking. This seems a bit odd. And now it turns out he's just got a bruise on his kneecap.
Shut. Give it over. Give it a rest. That's what you taking blood and saying, yeah, it was just, yeah. I was just calm down.
She took half the blood out of my body.
She took probably honestly took 20 milliliters.
She drained me dry.
Oh.
I had nothing left.
Blood?
Nothing left.
Shocking.
I was just flesh and bone.
Nah, honestly, absolutely shocking. Patella subluxation. Basically when the kneecap comes apart from the actual knee.
Like an Easter egg.
You're just like cracking open a can of beer. My kneecap's gone and the bottle cap's just gone.
For God's sake. Why is it floating around? What's it doing?
It's just me trying to be athletic.
It just doesn't fancy anymore. It
doesn't fancy holding my body up anymore. But yeah, that was a bit bizarre. So I've been hobbling around, legit hobbling.
So what's the solution? You get a kneecap transplant?
Yeah. I've got to do a lot of rehab. Got to get on the bike. Got to just get a little radio frequency in the kneecap. Got to strengthen it.
Bloody ice. Nora.
Lots of Advil.
You got to get down spin.
Maybe I should get an acid.
I was thinking that.
Repair it.
It's a different type of rehab, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like an
oxymoron of rehab.
Mm.
Well, is it though? Because you technically go to rehab for drugs too, so.
Exactly.
Anyway. No, it's quite a good story, actually. So I had one of the members a couple times last week in a row. He had a couple codgers going on. And in his single days, I guess there was apps back in the day, but it wasn't like, you know, Tinder and Bumble and all that kind of stuff. First of all, he's an absolute nutter. He loves to gamble, loves to play golf. And anyway, he was going on these apps or whatever it was, and it was after a golf tournament because he literally remembered, and the boys were like, new state, new area, new golf course.
We'll see what
talent's around. So this was about, that's not too long ago, but it was decent long ago. And he was like, curvy. He's like, oh, what's curvy mean? Maybe it means like a kind of like a personality, you know, people say like bubbly.
Okay.
Or like, you know, curious or something like that.
Okay.
So he was like curvy. He's like, oh, maybe it's like she's trying to say that she's like, you know, pretty indie or edgy or whatever.
Right.
So he texted the girl and he was like, hey, gonna be 5-10 minutes late. Just get a seat at the bar or get a table. So she was like, Yeah, no problem. So he says he's pretty beveraged from the golf day, gets changed. And he's like, I wonder what table she got, I wonder if she got the bar, whatever. And he walked past the window, and the restaurant had several windows that you could see inside. And he kind of glimpsed, and he was like, oh, I think that might be her. Let me go back. So he kind of did a little loop. He went back, and he looked again, and he was like, let me just Google something real quick. So he goes back to his car and Googles curvy. Curvy means like, you know, on the luscious side of thick, as the youth say.
But the thing is, if he just Googled curvy on its own, it would just mean like a bend.
Yes.
So he must have put it in a bit of context.
He put like, obviously, what does female in curvy meaning? And he bailed. He Gareth bailed on it. So he went back home to the Airbnb or hotel, probably a hotel back in the day, and all the boys are just slaughtering him. Absolutely just ripping him apart. He's like, you stud this woman up. She goes, you didn't even do your research. And he was like, honestly, didn't expect that. But I tell you what, now I know. Curvy.
I mean,
What would you have done in that scenario? You're out with the boys.
It's one of them. It's like if he's seen her through the window, he's clearly like, you know what, that's not for me. Why waste everyone's time?
Fair.
You're doing everyone a favour. I get it's pretty savage.
Fair.
But
I mean,
what's worse? Going through a date and being like, this is the worst thing, I need to get out. Or
yeah, and you probably would have paid for as well. So you just wasted not only 2 hours of your life, but probably $200+.
Yeah, and now he's out with the boys at the casino, just having a great time.
Drinking beers and maybe making money.
Exactly.
Fair dues to the lad, now he knows.
You live and you learn.
Live and you learn.
Can I just talk a real quick thing? This just cracked me up the other day. It was another cottage group. Guy was playing terrible, member. And we were on the back nine now, and he was really struggling, just hacking it about. But he didn't really care. He was like keeping it pretty cool. So I wasn't his caddy, but I was next to him. He was just short of the green. And the caddy said, he walks up to his ball, and he looks at it, and he just looks at the caddy. He says, "You want the skull or the chunk?" Like, so straight face, deadpan. I just cracked up when he told me that. Because he'd hit all sorts of bad shots today. I thought that was brilliant.
Skull or chunk?
You want the skull or the chunk?
Come on. Let's go back. Let's jog our memories here. Can you tell me? Does anything come jog the memory of your worst shot ever? In front of either a group of people, with the boys, anything that just, or you've just laid sod over, or like you got any?
Well, one of my worst ones was caddy challenge with our hero when I was on the muscle relaxers.
Oh, yeah.
The ball went about 10 feet. I mean,
class.
That was a low point for me. St. Andrew's first tee. I may as well have topped it.
Oh,
it was just a worm burner, but I was bricking it. I don't know. I mean, anytime you fat a chip, it's a bit embarrassing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not ideal.
Especially if you've hit like a massive drive.
Shanks, not ideal.
I don't feel like we shank the ball.
I actually haven't hit a shank for a while.
Yeah, me too. We've got to touch wood now, though. We've got to touch wood.
Oh, you got any shockers? That haunt you?
The only one that really haunts me was probably back at Loretto days, home internationals, deal and sandwich. Probably about 50 to 70 people stood behind it. Finals. First hole's like 360, 370. Should have just whacked driver down the right.
You chose 3-wood. Tell me you didn't choose a 3-wood.
Hit 3-wood.
Oh my God, it stinks of a top.
Ping G20. What'd I do?
Top. There's nothing I would rather do less off a first tee than hit.
Yeah.
Not driver. I want the biggest surface area.
And you know as well, the ping woods, especially the 3-woods and 5-woods, they're so shallow.
I know. Oh, God, I hate it.
Like, they're so small. I ended up then hitting a hybrid just short the green and making par, but still, it wasn't the fact. The embarrassment of literally topping them all. And you know, the best part of it, like, nobody said anything. It was just dead silent.
Well, that's the thing. It's just the awkwardness.
Oh, no. I remember for the rest of my life. Or another great one was... Not really. It was embarrassing, but it wasn't as embarrassing as that. Was we did a trip at Loretto as well. We did a trip to Atlanta, Georgia.
Bloody hell!
Yeah, it was pretty badass. We did a school swap.
This is a high school trip, ladies and gents.
Yeah,
that's quite a boozy trip.
You want me to tell you the golf courses too to piss you off more?
Augusta, not really piss you Augusta off, National. Laugh.
Wasn't Augusta. Peachtree.
Okay.
Atlanta Athletic Club. TPC Sugarloaf.
Right.
And then this course called the Highlands, which was possibly the coolest par 3 I've ever played in my entire life. And I know my boy's listening right now. He possibly hit the worst shot I've ever seen in my entire life. And I still, to this day, I'm so pissed off that I didn't get it on video, because it was I literally remember taking a picture of him, but not a video, because it was like...
Well, how bad was it?
Bro, it's like imagine a 100-foot drop.
Okay.
The flushiest of tees,
yeah,
in a green, way down there.
I already
and you've
have
only a, got a slightly have, bailout yeah. left, water on the right.
I have a picture in my head of what's happened.
Oh, he has shanked it
okay, no.
so far right that he's nearly hit someone in a rubber dinghy.
rubber dinghy rapid?
Literally in a boat. It's literally on the water, and he's nearly shouting. We couldn't stop laughing. We were in stitches. But back to my story was, it was the... We flew in, Edinburgh, Amsterdam, Atlanta, and I thought we were playing the next day, but we got in at like 12 o'clock, and so we were on the tee at like 1:30. So we literally went to the place, the big house that we were staying at, dropped our stuff, changed, and went to the golf course. And I'm literally tight as beans. I literally haven't stretched. We have hit no range balls.
This is when you had two working knees as well.
Oh, and a perfect back too. Well, yeah, maybe. And there's eight guys on the trip plus teachers. So there's like 11, 12 people on the tee box. And brand new driver, TaylorMade R1, all limited edition black. Brand new.
Oh.
The only person who hit it. Well, I hit it like twice, but Jim Furyk was the first person ever to hit it.
Huh.
At Gullen, sick story. But I topped it. I topped it 10 yards. Oh, it was quality. Unbelievable. I remember everyone was looking at me like, Crow, what are you doing?
That's quality.
But yeah. I don't know why. I thought I'd just delve into asking what the worst shot is, because I was just feeling like there's a lot of guys that do that.
I've probably suppressed the worst ones I can think. I guess you tend not to try and remember them.
Yeah.
True. I do remember shanking one off a first tee. That wasn't ideal. But yeah, no, I don't know.
Quite funny. Well, talking about bad shots that lead to funny stories. What about us? What about you? Member, guest. Number one.
Member, guest on number... So we didn't actually start on one, but we came 2-1 from the back nine. So we're waltzing up. I mean, we weren't playing great. Spirits weren't the highest. Anyways. So we've hitched a ride on a golf cart. And I'm sat just chatting to his dad in the cart. And I see him. I'm watching him hit the balls. He was at driver. Left, it's clearly left, everyone's looking left, and so I'm like, okay, I'll just walk up the left side. So I walk up the left side, I'm looking around left of the trap in the bushes where it generally goes when people miss it left, because the parking lot's like left and then the cabins are left. So I'm walking around, I'm up in front of the player, he catches up to me, sees me walking, and says, nah, you're in the wrong place. It went in between the cottages.
Yeah, it was bad.
In between the cottages. Now, this is over 100 yards left.
Sideways.
Of fairway.
I don't know how it didn't hit anything.
I mean, we're talking 150 from middle of fairway. I've never seen a ball over here.
Nah.
Anyway, long story short, we didn't even find the ball. So I'm walking through these cottages now thinking, it's impossible. We're never going to find a golf ball here. Our golf ball's never even seen this part of the course. So I'm doing the courtesy look, you know, just whacking bushes, just seeing if anything shakes out, if I get a glimpse of anything. And all of a sudden, I'm looking in this one bush, and I'm like, that's a bit odd. That's a shoe. So I've got like his lob wedge out, and I'm in this bush, and I've just hooked like the front of this shoe, and I've pulled it out. And it's clearly a lady's high heel. So I've grabbed it by the heel and I'm having a look. And it's not just any high heel, it's a Gucci high heel. So there were boys, we were so offline, we were basically on the edge of two fairway now, like back by the tee box. So the boys were walking up two and they're like, what you got there? I was like, I've got a Gucci high heel. Just found it in the bush.
Come on.
So they're all laughing, taking pictures and videos of this high heel. Anyway, so I've shown the whole group, thrown it in the cart, because it's quite funny. Thought nothing of it, but, you know, someone might want their shoe back one day. So anyways, I've come home, and I've told a few people, and we Googled these shoes, right? So I was just interested, like, what the devil is one of these shoes worth?
I know, I'm literally looking at it right now.
What do you think it is before you browse?
Okay. I reckon, well, obviously...
Just a pair of Gucci high heels.
I reckon they're... 750 to 900. Okay, let me get specific. 825.
Yeah, I found the exact pair in the 800s. Just a single 800 $100 pair of shoes were just tossed in a bush.
That's 400.
Anyway, so the next day I come in and I tell Caddy Master, I say to him, you won't believe what I found in a bush on number two yesterday. He's like, go on, Em, what'd you find? I found a Gucci high heel. His reaction wasn't like, bloody hell, what? That's crazy. His reaction was, oh, you found it? I'm like, huh?
Yes.
So I was like, well, you're going to have to explain a bit more now. So apparently, it was a known fact that this shoe was missing. So don't know whose it was, don't know what the circumstance was, but I'm assuming someone probably had too many drinks and threw their lady's shoe from the cottage into the bush. Who knows why? And from what I heard, they were out looking for these shoes that they threw out, and they found one of them, but they couldn't find the other shoe.
Delayed.
And so he was quizzing me. He's like, where did you put the shoe? Where is it? Who had the shoe? Whose cart did you leave the shoe in? I was like, bloody hell, I just left it in the cart. What am I going to do with the one single Gucci shoe? So yeah.
You'd
apparently
wear it.
I've just solved an absolute mystery.
Love that.
For some lassie at the course.
Come on.
And saved her $800 on a new pair.
Yeah. I mean, honestly. Good for you.
But yeah, no, that was a first.
You are...
She should give me a bit of commission.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, she got really off 10%. You're an agent. You've got to bargain these things.
I tell you what, I'll manage her OnlyFans.
See? Maybe life.
And she can promote ours.
Life in the Hoop.
Yeah.
Life on the Loop.
Me and you. Imagine you in a pair of Gucci high heels.
No, I'm moving on.
And a Cabretta glove.
I'm moving on.
Anyways.
So, I guess he is. He's one of our favourites at the club. He's not a member. But great quote he told me today. So, actually yesterday, sorry, not today. The bag that I had yesterday was absolutely fine. But the bag next to it was an absolute satchel unit.
Right.
And I was like, feel sorry for whoever who's carrying that bag. Slash, obviously, the guy was going to switch it out. But it wasn't me, no. And he goes to me, he goes, my line is, well, sir, today we're not going to go camping. We're playing golf.
Brilliant.
We're not camping. We're going golfing. I think that's great. Short and sweet.
We're not pitching a tent. We're hitting hosels.
Exactly. But no, I just like that one. Short and sweet. Kind of makes it funny, but also to the point of, listen, son, empty the fucking bag. Heavy as shit.
I like that. That's actually reminded me of one of my favorite ones I heard from the summer. Sleep. Remember Sleep?
Yeah. Grind a bag?
No.
Oh, no.
Whenever I was with them quite a lot. So whenever we'd meet guys, we'd be like, what tees you guys want to play? And they'd be like, oh, how far is it? Blah, blah, blah. And we'd be like, well, sir, I mean, I'd advise you play the up tees because it's a tough golf course. And they'd be like, And then we kind of bully him into it. And he'd be like, look, fellas, we're here for a good time, not a long time. I always loved that.
Do you like that one?
And all the players cracked up.
Because if you do play from the golds, we're going to take 4.5 hours. And that can't be arsed.
Exactly. But yeah, anyways.
Come on.
Well, we've rattled through some material there.
Got a bit of material. Really do. Yeah, as it sounds of it, this could be our last episode.
It is? OnlyFans going to take off?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The OnlyFans is going
brilliant.
On. We're done.
All right. Well, I'm buzzing for
finished.
It.
Come on.
Well, I guess events moving forward. We're going to Kentucky for a jolly up.
Yes.
In a week, just over a week.
Yeah.
That should be quite interesting. Then our Bahamas trip comes up.
Bahamas trips comes up. Yep.
We'll be out country. Thanksgiving is this week.
What did you say?
Thanksgiving.
Oh, it is. Thanksgiving. We don't celebrate it, but we all, you know, thanks for all the giving that everyone's given to us and supporting of the pod. So we'd like to use this platform to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. But yeah, Thanksgiving's coming up. Trip to Kentucky, which is a bit of business and pleasure.
Yeah.
A lot of business.
Basically.
Big business. Coming soon.
We're not even there for 24 hours, but no. Anyways.
In and out like swimwear.
For real. But yeah. Send us a DM. Send us an email. What's the email address?
Life on the loop podcast at gmail.com.
Yeah, send us something funny. Members that are listening, send us something. Abuse your caddy. Tell us something dumb that he's done.
Yes.
I love that. I don't want to call out names, but I want to call out names. I know they're listening.
But yeah, send us in at lifeontheloop@gmail.com. I've said it twice now. So please send in, abuse your caddies, abuse your, even abuse the members. Honestly, they're out there. They're out there to be played. They're out there to be abused. Talk about all the bad shots they've hit, all the bad things they've done to you.
All the bad reads.
Exactly. So,
aye, give it to us. Give it to us.
But yeah, we'll see a couple of things happening.
We'll be back at some point next week, hopefully.
Yeah, we're not going to promise anything anymore because there's a lot of people very busy. Yeah, important people are very busy. We're not important, so we're not busy. So,
brilliant.
We'll finish it off.
We're just filming OnlyFans content. Anyway,
on that note, live,
laugh,
live.